I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You're listening to continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Sticking her in today, aren't we?
All right, court is out of session. I want Judge Stephen Everett to back.
Morning, everyone. Can be seated.
Morning, Judge.
Miss Niles, come on up. You can stand at the lectern if you wish.
For the record, Laurel Niles, on behalf of State Witness Charlie Adelson.
All other counsel of record can make their appearances at this point.
Georgia Kappelman for the state.
Alex Morris on behalf of Mrs. Adelson.
Dan Rashbaum on behalf of Mrs. Adelson, who's present.
So, how was everyone's evening last night?
Got a lot of sleep, Your Honor. How about you?
Slept like a baby. Let's start with the notice of invoking rights and non-waiver of conflict of interest by Mr. Adelson. Do you have anything to argue beyond what's in the pleading?
Your Honor, I'm not here to advocate for a position for the court to do something in this case. The only thing I intended to do with my filing is to invoke Mr. Adelson's rights to put the parties in the court on notice that he does intend to invoke his rights.
Right. Ms. Kappelman, does the state have a position that it wishes to raise concerning the notice or the filing?
My only position, Judge, is that this issue has been waived. Your Honor did an inquiry, which was thorough, covered the issue, and...
As to Mrs. Adelson?
Yes, sir.
Concerning Charlie Adelson, I believe... Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the only way Mr. Rauschbaum's representation could occur as if both ends of the conflict were waiving. I don't believe Mr. Adelson ever took an affirmative position one way or another.
My understanding was he did, but I guess that position is changing, so I don't know. I have to defer to Your Honor on that.
Does the state intend to call Charles Adelson as a part of its case in chief?
No, he would be a rebuttal witness at this point. Now, that could also change, too, but as of this moment, he is a rebuttal witness.
Ms. Niles, is there a reason that your client waited until yesterday to assert his invocation of this right and non-waiver?
Your Honor, I think the critical question is when the conflict arose. So,
oh, the conflict has been there. The conflict is clear on its face. It's as clear as my nose. Is there a reason your client did not assert this until yesterday?
Your Honor, my understanding is that my client has not waived at any point. And so asserting it yesterday was merely putting the parties on notice of that non-waiver. I mean, the fact that he's listed in discovery as a Category A witness does not mean that the state was going to call him as a witness at trial. I think the conflict arose when my office received a subpoena for his trial testimony, which was last week on September 11th, and then he was transported to the jail on September 13th. Mr. Efferman was able to meet with him at 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday the 14th, and then at that point, without revealing any confidential communications with our client, we became aware that all the parties needed to be on notice that there was no waiver and that he does intend to invoke his rights. And so our notice was filed the next business day, Monday morning. It was later in the morning, but we were trying to get it done. We were a non-party, so we were having some trouble figuring out how to get it filed, but we drafted it and alerted the parties and the court as soon as we knew that this was an imminent issue, that his rights were imminently potentially going to be violated. Now, I don't think, I don't believe that they would be violated until he takes the witness stand, and at that point, either his former counsel attempts to cross-examine him, or another member of the defense team attempts to cross-examine him, or they advance an interest that is materially adverse to his interest. So I think the potential for conflict was always there, but the conflict arose, it's going to arise on the witness stand. It has not quite yet arisen, but the potential for conflict.
It's simmering, not boiling.
Yes, Your Honor, it's burgeoning.
Mr. Morris.
Yes, sir. Judge, when I came into the case, at the inception of the case, obviously I was aware of the fact that Mr. Aschbaum had represented Mr. Adelson. I was aware of the conflict, whether it's arisen or not. My view of it is that it's always been there and been present. As a result of that, I have been walled off from everything as it relates to any discovery from that prior case, any notes. I've not had any conversations with Mr. Aschbaum about Mr. Adelson's evidence or property. The first instance that I met Mr. Adelson was this past weekend on Saturday with Mr. Ufferman. And in fact, Mr. Adelson queried whether or not I had seen his phone. I said, no. But we planned for this exact circumstance. And the idea was that I was going to conduct any cross-examination if Mr. Adelson were to testify. Mr. Ufferman's motion argues to impute the conflict absent a showing, a good faith showing of an ethical wall. I think that we've done that, but of course, as I mentioned in my response, we planned in the alternative if we're forced in that direction of securing alternate counsel.
When was the third party counsel retained?
Candidly, there's been no retention in terms of money from Mrs. Adelson to that lawyer that's prepared to happen. We wanted to see Your Honor's ruling. But the answer is I spoke with the attorney yesterday to confirm, just as I mentioned in the response, availability and absence of conflict for that lawyer.
All right. I've gone through, I believe, at least two Lazarlay inquiries with your client specifically as to this conflict that exists between his former client, Mr. Adelson, and his current client, Mrs. Adelson. Is there a reason the defense did not bring before the court that you were pursuing third-party counsel, or there was, in fact, no waiver from Charles Adelson?
Well, let me back up and provide the court some information then. So there was, in fact, a waiver with Mr. Aschbaum. Mr. Aschbaum consulted.
Verbal or written?
Both. There was a third-party lawyer, Mr. Moses, who was hired as third-party counsel out of South Florida to consult with Mr. Adelson independently outside of Mr. Rashbaum's presence. And as it relates to the waiver, my understanding is that the waiver was agreed to. I believe it's going to be verbal, Judge, in the sense of not in writing. The written portion of it is the lawyer who consulted with Mr. Adelson. That was because of security issues, is the way that that was dealt with. It was post-conviction. The Department of Corrections housed Mr. Adelson closely managed, and as a result, there was an inability to get to him in a face-to-face conversation. So the waiver issue did occur, and then the retention of third-party counsel, we had never believed it to be an issue because of the game plan as it relates to me handling cross-examination and being walled off. And not until the issue that Mr. Ufferman raised did we make that move.
Let's assume for a moment that I find the walling off has been sufficient. Why should Mr. Rashbaum's representation not be terminated at this point?
The motion that Mr. Ufferman has filed is a conflict as it relates to cross-examination. Mr. Adelson, as I understand it, his objection is not to Mr. Rashbaum's continued representation of Mr. Adelson.
Well, your client has a right to effective representation at every single critical stage. I'm also not going to allow any issues, basically, to get backdoored should there need to be an appeal.
Never came to my mind.
Is there any dispute that Mr. Rashbaum does not meet the elements of Kolker?
I don't believe so, Judge, no.
A substantially related representation and a client that is now asserting a non-waiver of a conflict?
Well, also from a practical perspective, this is, as the court mentioned, this has been a known circumstance from the inception. And
it has.
But I think that cuts both ways in the sense that, and I don't quarrel with the general concept that these circumstances ought to be avoided, and it doesn't create these circumstances. Beyond that, though, there's not been an assertion of this, and of course, Mr. Adelson's entitled to change his mind whenever he wants. He can change his mind 3 hours from now, I suppose.
I will take Mrs. Niles' presence as proof he's changed his mind.
Yes, sir. Understood. But I don't think that my understanding from Mr. Ufferman in discussion was that the conflict was strictly limited to Mr. Adelson not wanting Mr. Rashbaum or potentially by extension myself to cross-examine. And that was the limit of the conflict, is my understanding.
Ms. Niles, do you need to clarify anything?
I do need to clarify that, Your Honor. Our first filing yesterday, the notice, did frame the issue in terms of concern about potential sharing of information on the defense team, right? Mr. Adelson was not waiving his privileged communications with Mr. Rashbaum. But after we read the response from counsel, I think it became clear, based on our reading of the rules regulating the Florida Bar, that it would not be enough to bring in a third party, or it would not be enough to have a walled-off attorney conduct the cross-examination. And that's because I read Rule 4-1.9A to control on that issue. So Rule 1.9B says you can't use information gleaned from the representation to the disadvantage of a former client, but A says you cannot advance an interest that is materially adverse to a former client in the same or substantially related matter. So whether we have another attorney come in and do that cross-examination, and I absolutely trust Mr. Morris, and I'm not challenging his veracity when he says he was walled off from this issue, but I don't think it solves the problem, because whether we have another lawyer actually conduct the cross-examination doesn't solve the issue of A under that rule. In the case cited in Mr. Adelson's notice called Kolker that Your Honor just referenced, also addresses this exact issue and says having a third party conduct the cross doesn't resolve the conflict because it's the relationship that forms the basis of the conflict, not just the information. So it would be our position that Mr. Rashbaum cannot advance an interest against Mr. Adelson because Mr. Adelson is now going to be a witness for the state of Florida. That is a problem under the rules regulating the Florida bar and Florida case law.
Well, does any party have anything further they wish to add to this matter?
Brief response, Judge. Of course, Ms. Adelson has a right to counsel of her choice. I recognize that
it is not absolute.
Understood. I recognize that there are restrictions. But in the circumstance that's before us, then Mr. Adelson may not testify in this case. And that's a little bit of the frustrating part, is that this can be utilized as a tactic in some respects.
It doesn't mean he still can't lob a hand grenade in the direction of the trial.
Sure. Understood. The frustrating part, I guess, is that the defense doesn't intend to call him. The state's acknowledged that it would be in rebuttal if they were to call him. And I can't fathom why there would be a lot of direct or cross-examination. But
if this witness cannot be properly cross-examined, your client has lost the right to effective representation. And therefore, we have an issue relating to whether or not a new trial is merited. At the outset, it is foolish to charge forward under the circumstances. I can examine your client if she's willing to waive the issue of the conflict and also waive the issue on appeal. That still does not per se resolve the matter. Do you wish for me to examine your client?
May I have just a moment, Judge?
Go ahead.
Judge, yes, if the court wishes to inquire.
Please raise your right hand, Ms. Adelson. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you will give today will be the truth? You can lower your hand. I believe we've done this twice before, but given the circumstance and what has now arisen, it is prudent to do it once again. Do you understand that you have the right to conflict-free counsel? Meaning, specifically, as it relates to Mr. Rauschbaum or any other conflict that may be imputed to Mr. Morris or any other third party. Do you understand that your attorney has to be able to properly cross-examine your son if he is called as a witness?
Yes.
Do you understand how this conflict affects the cross-examination, potentially, or your overall defense strategy?
Yes.
Have you been able to speak with a conflict-free attorney in making the decision as to whether you wish to waive any conflict on this matter?
Judge, the short answer is going to be no, beyond having spoken with me at the inception of my representation.
Would you like to speak with conflict-free counsel concerning this issue?
Sure.
Very well. Before we finish the colloquy on this matter, then, we will go into recess. The defendant will have an opportunity to consult with conflict-free counsel. We'll resume this afternoon. I will finish the colloquy this afternoon. Any jurors that have been summoned this morning will be released for now. and if there is to be a selection, we will get started again at 1:15. Before we finish for this morning, Ms. Dugan, Ms. Kappelman, did you have anything else that you wish to raise or argue?
Nothing else, Your Honor.
Very well.
Your Honor, may I be excused for this afternoon, or would you like me to come back?
If there's anything else that you need to raise on behalf of your client.
No, Your Honor, there's not.
Very well. You are excused. Please report back at 1:15. Whoever the conflict-free counsel is that Ms. Adelson will consult with, if either she has someone in mind or the attorneys are going to assist her with this, please move quickly so she has an opportunity to speak with someone, and we'll move forward from there.
Judge, could Ms. Kappelman and I come sidebar briefly?
Please approach. We will reconvene at 10:30. We are in recess for now. What's that? Hold on for right now. Has anyone spoken to them?
They can either walk around to the restroom and have them stay awake, but let's just come back to the room, not to the side.
Okay. don't even accept lawyers.
That lawyer should have started that
Everyone can be seated. Pick back up where we were earlier. I believe Ms. Adelson was consulting with independent counsel on that matter. Has she had sufficient time to do so?
Judge, I think I'll let independent counsel Mr. Komisar speak to that.
Mr. Komisar?
Yes, Your Honor. May it please the court, just for your awareness, I've been involved in this since yesterday. She has had a chance.
Welcome.
She has had a chance to speak with me. She's in a position where she would not like to lose Mr. Rashbaum. She's willing to make any waivers that are necessary. She's not seeking a continuance, and she's fine with currently unprepared counsel conducting the cross-examination of Mr. Adelson, should he be called.
Well, let's go ahead and finish the colloquy that we started earlier concerning the waivers. Ms. Adelson, if you can stand once again, you have already been sworn. Now that you've had the opportunity to discuss with Mr. Komisar the issues that are related to the conflict of Mr. Rashbaum and also any issues as it would relate to proceeding forward under these circumstances, are you in fact waiving any conflicts regarding Mr. Rashbaum?
Yes, sir.
Do you also waive any issue on a future appeal regarding the issue of your son's cross-examination?
Yes.
As it pertains both to the preparation of any counsel who would perform that cross-examination or the fact that it may not be adequate representation?
Yes.
You may be seated. Does the state have anything to raise concerning this matter at this point?
Just that the state is in agreement with proceeding as outlined by defense counsel. In the limited research I was able to do on the issue, it seems like a lot of the times when it goes the other way and the court in its discretion decides to boot the counsel of record for conflict, the state is seeking that. So I just want to put on the record that we are not seeking for your honor to do that in this situation.
To dismiss Mr. Rashbaum.
Correct.
Very well. I'm going to perform my additional research before we continue this afternoon concerning whether or not this waiver is sufficient. The defendant has made it. She has made it voluntarily. At the same time, whether it is sufficient to survive any review, that is really where my mindset is at this point. Unless any other party has something to raise, we'll be in recess and get started again at 1:30.
Judge, as Ms. Nile has been speaking with her during the break, is she and Mr. Upperman are meeting with Mr. Adelson, because the question has arisen as to whether or not there's a conflict as it relates to cross-examination, or if Mr. Adelson were to have a continued objection to his representation, continued representation of Ms. Adelson. I think that there's some thought that that needs to be confirmed from Mr. Adelson first, because if he takes a different position, it would seemingly disqualify Mr. Rashbaum altogether. That's going to be accomplished. I wanted to let the court know that that's in the works.
Good.
Also, as it relates to the waiver, so the court was aware, and there's mention of it in the comments section of the rules regulating the profession, that an oral waiver is acceptable and appropriate with certain conditions that are set forth in the rule.
Is the attorney who obtained the waiver available to speak on this matter?
I don't know the answer off the top of my head, but I'm pretty certain, I say with a 99% certainty, we'll facilitate it.
Go ahead.
Does Your Honor need, that's why I'm mentioning this, should I, excuse me, Judge.
Obtained by me, and then the independent waiver did not get it.
this in your chair, but you could testify as an independent legal.
Does your honor feel like you need to hear from?
So we have a fully developed record, yes.
Okay, let me make arrangements during the break, and I'll alert chambers as to how quickly we can do that so we don't waste time this afternoon if possible.
Please do.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to have the afternoon jurors report at 2 o'clock so that way no one's time is wasted while we're going through these matters. Mr. Commissar, you had something else to add?
Yes, Your Honor. Just as we're talking about perfecting a record, I just wanted to note that as the independent counsel, I was given an opportunity by the court to meet with her independently. The bailiffs gave us some privacy here. I was able to meet with her for easily 30 minutes, and I'm not revealing any of our confidences, but this was not a squishy situation. Once I was able to articulate the options and how they can result in delay or the opportunity to prepare, this, I can say, was a strategy decision that is being made by a defendant who does not want to delay their case, but understands that the representation they're going to get from my cross-examination is not what they might get from another lawyer, or definitely not what they're going to get from me with a year of preparation. So it may look odd in a cold record having a lawyer come in this morning and advise somebody to waive such an important right. I was able to articulate the options, but I did not necessarily advise somebody to waive their rights.
Well, Mr. Morris, do you wish the court to engage in any further colloquy with Ms. Adelson concerning this matter?
Not at this point, Judge.
Very well. Ms. Adelson, I do not want you to respond, but I want you to understand, although you have made an affirmative waiver on these matters, I still have to evaluate whether that waiver is sufficient or whether Mr. Rauschbaum needs to be terminated from this matter. I'm going to give this serious consideration. I will do additional research of my own from there. Everyone will have an answer this afternoon. We are in recess until 1:15. Please come back to the courtroom at that time.
Judge, would you be open to both sides submitting case law for your consideration during the recess?
Certainly.
I'll go down and release them myself.
Yep. Good afternoon, everyone. Can you sit up? Almost scared to speak. Does anyone have anything to raise before we continue forward?
Yes, Judge. May I approach the lectern?
You may.
So, Judge, with the surprise issues of the last couple days, I have asked for my prior client's waiver again, and with the change of circumstances, he has decided not to give it. So let me be clear. I have a waiver in the past. It's from December 12th, December 13th, and an independent lawyer spoke to him as well, although did not get a signature on the waiver. So we had a waiver. We thought we had a waiver. We didn't think there was an issue. But given the events of the last 2 days, I approached appellate counsel to get a new waiver. Thought that was the right thing to do, obviously, and the cleanest thing to do, and I am not able to obtain that waiver at this point. So as a result, I need to withdraw from the case.
Very well. Does the state wish to be heard concerning the withdrawal of counsel?
I don't think I have anything appropriate to say on the matter, Judge. Thank Your Honor.
Well put.
What we need to do, we would like to proceed, and I'd ask Your Honor to inquire whether we can proceed with second chair. Representing Ms. Adelson, but obviously we're ready for trial and there's a lot at stake.
Mr. Morris, are you prepared to move through this trial without Mr. Rauschbaum?
Judge, I did enough. I tried to think about all of the different potential rabbit trails, and the short answer is I do not believe that I am going to be able to be adequately prepared to proceed forward with the present calendar, primarily because of the division of labor in the case. I would move to continue for a brief period of time. That's also, in speaking with Mr. Ufferman, which is an issue that I'm going to request that we address, the objection by Mr. Adelson would still pertain to my cross-examination, and by extension, the third party would conduct cross-examination. In short, I need time to regroup.
Before we finish today, I will have the in-camera hearing review concerning whether you have been properly walled off. As to the withdrawal of lead counsel, I am going to permit it. The conflict issues are so severe, I believe, to move forward with the trial, Ms. Kappelman, Ms. Dugan would place us in a position where we would end up in a reversal. Let's go ahead and set a case management date. As to all the expense that has been undertaken with moving witnesses and preparing for trial, the state certainly, as a part of any cost of prosecution, if you are successful, may seek those costs as it relates to today, as this continuance will be charged to the defendant. As to a new date, when would the parties like to have a case management?
I think as soon as possible, Judge. I'm prepared to brainstorm with Ms. Kappelman and Ms. Dugan with the state to be able to get a trial date if we wanted to do that. But I don't know if we need additional time.
But Ms. Dugan advises she has a court date October 15th, so that would be my suggestion.
10:15 at 2:30 will be the follow-up case management to today. Before we go into recess, I am going to conduct the in-camera hearing with Mr. Morris as to any remaining issue of who should conduct the cross-examination of Charles Adelson if called as a witness. If the court reporter can meet me in the jury room, Mr. Morris, please as well. Can be seated. The court has concluded its in-camera hearing with formal counsel and remaining counsel, Mr. Morris. Mrs. Adelson, depending if you choose to hire additional counsel or just reset the trial date, you'll certainly be able to work with Mr. Morris as your attorney in making that decision. But the trial is going to be continued from today. The jurors will be released this afternoon. Again, as to the inconvenience and delay that this has caused, I'm not happy, but at the same time, we're trying to get this right so we do not have to do it a second time. I will speak with the parties again when we have the next case management hearing. We are in recess. Yeah, all four. Have they reported yet?
Yeah.
I can go down and release them again, but I'll...
More continuing coverage in the trial of Donna Adelson from the Hidden Killers podcast. And true crime today is on the way. Press subscribe now.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. so time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September. I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September. I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September. I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September. I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.